This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Ma yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa ma yudlil fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته we're now going to do part two of our series called Are your du'as accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In other words, are you calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as instructed by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and as instructed, of course, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an? This is very, very important because du'a is a du'a'u mukhul ibadah. Du'a is the essence of ibadah. A du'a huwa al-ibadah. And it is said that du'a itself is ibadah. And I want to bring a very important point to you before I start my lecture. And that is all the ibadat in Islam. Everything to do with ibadah was completed in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single ibadah. And you've just heard me saying that ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah. The du'a itself is ibadah. Du'a is ibadah. Subhanallah. So you can't come later and say, well, you know, this one and that. No, no, no. That all the scholars of Tawheed and of Ibadat and of Fiqh all agree that Ibadat was complete in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we're not allowed to add or deduct any of the Ibadat which Allah had commanded his Prophet to do and commanded his Prophet to relay to this ummah. Can't add to the ibadat. So today, inshallah, we will carry on to answer the questions of the young man who posed these questions to Dr. Muhammad Al-Ghazali, a great scholar of this age. He continues and he says, Al-Qawl bi'an al-amal la yunzar ilayh. He says, the opinion or the viewpoint that we don't look at what a person does. We don't look at what a person does. إِنَّمَا تُعَتَبَرْ أَنِّيَّ الْمُصَاحِبَ لَهُ But we consider the intention that he had when he did the act. So, don't look at what the man does. Ask him what was in his heart. Ask him what his intention was. This is, he says plainly, this is غير صحيح. I'm quoting him. He says, this is not correct. In other words, this is totally incorrect. نحن أمة نحكم بالظاهر. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نحن أمة نحكم بالظاهر والله يتولى السرائر. Hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, we are a nation that judge people by their actions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what their secrets are. We don't know. We don't know what a person's intention is. How can we read a person's intention? How can we even ask him what his intention is? We don't know. He can say anything. So it goes contrary to the hadith of the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to consider not the act but the intention. Otherwise, the man puts his head on the grave and there is a big group of people who say that he wasn't worship. His intention wasn't to worship the grave. Although he put his head there, that's out of respect. So, in Islam, that is called sujood. In Islam, to put your head on the ground is called sujood. Or on any place called sujood. And sujood is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَالْعَمَلْ الْمَقْبُولِ Sheikh Al-Ghazali says, An accepted act deenan. Not outside of the deen. Inside Islam. An accepted act that we do inside Islam. يجب أن تتوافى في أولا النية صالحة. Imam Ghazal al-Sheikh, great Sheikh, says that it is important, it is compulsory, it is imperative that for an act to be accepted in the deen, maqbool, to be maqbool in the deen, it must first of all have a niyyah as-salihah, a correct niyyah. So Allah doesn't accept any act from you if you don't have the correct niyyah. For example, if you give charity, but your intention is to, so people can see you must give, you giving charity, that act is not accepted. Why? Because it must go together with not doing it to display, but to do it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, so number one is a niyyah, sincere niyyah. وثانيا, and secondly, الصورة المشروعة. That the act itself must comply with the Sharia. So you can't say that I'm looking at this man's face and I believe that my sins will all be forgiven by looking at his face. Sins are not forgiven by looking at somebody's face. No way in the Quran does Allah speak. Yeah, people quote a lot of false hadith and they quote a lot of weak hadith. If there was ever a man in whose face was looked in order for people to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would have been looking into the Mubarak face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But no, in the hadith do we hear the Prophet say that, look into my face and all your sins will be forgiven. Another innovation, another bid'ah. Any ibadah, that's an ibadah. To ask Allah to forgive your sins is an ibadah. And to forgive your sins is a divine act. Forgiveness of sins is a divine, it's one of the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَخْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Allah says in the Quran, and no one can forgive sins except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not looking into somebody's face. How is that? That is shirk. You are equating that man's face with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah forgives and his face forgives. You are placing that man's face in between Allah and you for the forgiveness of sins. And you are putting a blemish on the uluhiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the divine majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقْدَانُ الْعَمَلْ لِأَحَدَ هَذَيْنِ الْأَرُكْنَيْنِ يُبْطِلُهُ. Maghazali says, the absence of any one of these two things, a correct niyyah and correct action. There's no, if there's a correct niyyah but not a correct action, batil. The act is null and void. If you have a wrong niyyah and the correct action, the act is null and void. The act must agree with the intention. Act and the intention goes together. So, any act, فالعمل المتفق ظاهره مع الشرع. Any act where the outside of the act is in conformity with the Sharia. Any act where the outside of the act is in conformity with the Sharia. For example, the man puts up his hands to make dua. That is in conformity with the Sharia. But he's standing facing the qabr of somebody. So that other part of it is not part of the Sharia, which spoils the whole act of dua. So what does he say? The alim says, if you act, if you look at the act, if you look at somebody doing something, and it's in conformity with the Sharia, for example, but the person who does the act is doing it mira'iyan, to show off. He does it to show off. Or he does it because he's got, he makes up his own mind as to what he wants to do. Or he's a munafiq. His reward is zero. Why? Because his heart is zero. He's a munafiq. Outside he's Muslim, inside he's not Muslim. Or he goes against the direct sunnah of the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Direct sunnah. Like Abdullah ibn Umar came to the masjid one morning for Fajr and the adhan went off and one of the musallis, he started making salah and he made salah. While he was waiting for the iqamah, he made two rakas. He thought, well, I've got time. Make two rakas. Until the iqamah. So Abdullah ibn Umar went to him and said, you're aware that the sunnah before Fajr is two rakat. He said, yes, I know. So Abdullah ibn Umar said, what are the other salahs that you make? He says, what's wrong with making salah? Allah's not going to punish me for making salah. You know? That kind of attitudinal jahl, ignorance. That's a sahabi, speaking to a sahabi. So this jahl is not only amongst us, it's been there always. People say, why not? Why can't I do it? So Abdullah ibn Umar said to him, no, Allah's not going to punish you for making salah. But Allah is going to punish you for going against the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, only made two rak'ahs before Fajr. No more. So who are you following? You're disobeying a sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An established sunnah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Raka'atani qabla al-fajr, two rak'ahs before Fajr, is better than the world and whatever it contains. Two rak'ahs. Prophet didn't say make as many, two. So you want to make, you saying, yeah, I'm better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll just ignore that. I've got time and I will do what I want to do. People do that today. We are people, we follow the sunnah and the Quran. All right. So, any intention that has no place in the deen, it has no weight, it is meaningless, it is fruitless. وَلَا يُلْتَفَتْ إِلَيْهِ. The deen doesn't look at it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at it. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. Allah says, be obedient to Allah. It's an instruction, it's a command. It's not saying, please, if you can manage it, you know, please be obedient to me and be obedient. And if you can manage it, be obedient. No. You must follow Allah's instruction to the letter. And you must follow the Prophet's instruction to the letter. Subhanallah. If that is our life as Muslims, it's uncomplicated. Because you don't have to listen to this one and that one says do it like this and do it like that. And at that time, make 100 rakat or 20 rakat and read that 100 times and 1,000 times. From where does this come? You created your own. You created your own dhikr. Everything you create on your own. Sahaba came to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he was in Arafah. On Arafah, the day of Arafah, not any day, not any place. Sahaba came and said, Ya Rasulullah, we don't know what to do. There are no instructions for us to do. There's nothing to do on Arafah. There's no salah of Arafah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, read the Quran on Arafah. So the Prophet said to the Sahaba, make the dhikr that was made by all the Anbiya. The best dhikr. The highest dhikr. What was that dhikr? Was it the book 10 pages long? Or even 1 page long? The Prophet said, make the dhikr that was made by all the Anbiya, subhanallah. Oh, this must be a great dhikr. What was the dhikr of the Anbiya? La ilaha illallah. Fusam. Why not Muhammadun Rasulullah? Because the Anbiya didn't say Muhammadun Rasulullah. Only we say Muhammadun. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no. What all the Anbiya said. So what is the dhikr of Arafah? La ilaha illallah. Because nothing wrong with reading Quran. But what is the best thing to do? To read the best dhikr. And wherever else. So if Arafah is the highest place, the place where you are, where Allah is going to forgive all your sins, and you know, that is the best place. Everybody wants to be on Arafah. Al-Hajj Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. So when you're at home, you should treat it like Arafah. And the best dhikr you make is La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. Why? Because that is an instruction coming directly from your Prophet that you say you love so much. Oh, we love the Prophet. Oh, we do this because we love the Prophet. Alayhi salatu salam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do what he instructed you to do. والتشريعات الوضعية. Man-made laws. Let's look at man-made laws. In a court of law, a judge doesn't ask you what your intention was. The law doesn't look at your intention. You can't say, you stole 50 million rand from somebody and you said, sir, I didn't mean to steal 50 million rand from you. No, the court doesn't ask you that question. The evidence is that you stole the money. What your intention was, the court is not interested in that. Court is not interested in your intention. The court is interested in the evidence presented for the deeds that you committed. And ignorance of the law in man-made law, ignorance of the law is no excuse. You can't say, I didn't know that I shouldn't park on the red line. I didn't know that I had to stop at the robot. You can't say that. Similarly, on Day of Qiyamah, you can't stand in front of Allah and say, but Ya Allah, I didn't know. I didn't know that the best dhikr to make. Dhikr is who? Dhikr of what? Dhikrullah. The remembrance of Allah. What is the best dhikrullah to make? Is to say, La ilaha illallah. Allah will say, you did this, you read this book of that person and of this group of people. They have their own dhikr and they have their own. Didn't you know that the best dhikr is La ilaha illallah? Your Prophet told you that. And if you say, you didn't know, I said, no. You are of the Ummah of Muhammad. I sent you a prophet and a book. Prophet and a book. And Sahaba. You have no excuse. Can't say we didn't know. And why do the courts of law do this? Because the courts of law want to prevent the court to be misled by people saying they had a good intention. That will mislead the court. And also to protect the truth and to protect society from evil. And Imam Ghazali now says, he says, is the deen of Allah lower than the courts? Is the care that the courts take to implement the law higher than Islam takes to implement and to protect the Quran and the Sunnah? Shouldn't our laws be stricter to control the Quran and Sunnah? Because ultimately, our adherence to the Quran and Sunnah will lead us to Jannah. And our deviation from Quran and Sunnah will lead us to Jahannam. Now he says, now Imam Ghazali makes a sentence. Sheikh Ghazali makes a sentence. He says, now he says. He says, وَلِمَاذَ تَسْتَحِي مِنْ وَصْفِ الْقَبُورِيِّينَ بِالشِّرْكِ. He said, why is it that we are shy to call people who worship graves as shirk? The worshipping of graves as shirk. Now you say, yeah, but people don't worship the grave. My brother, I've just explained to you. If you stand by a grave with your hands raised, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you're making shirk. And I said I was going to come to that. And that is in the Quran. Allah says that in the Quran. We'll wait for that lecture. But he makes a statement. Imam Ghazali, Sheikh Ghazali says, why is it that the ulama are so shy? They're shy to call shirk shirk. Why? In fact, nowadays, they say there's no more shirk. Christians don't commit shirk. The Hindus don't commit shirk. Nobody commits shirk anymore. Let's hold hand. Hold hand. What does Allah say? I forgive all sins except shirk. Shirk is still there. Because Allah says it's there. And Allah says if you commit it, can't be forgiven. Imam Ghazali says, he says, why is it that we shy to call these things shirk? مَعَنَّ الرَّسُولِ وَصَفَ الْمَرَائِينَ بِهِ فَقَالْ. When the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called those people who show off. Who? People who show off. They make salah and they make long salah in the masjid, but at home they will just go up and down. For example, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ar-riya'u shirk. Prophet said, whatever you do in order to impress other people is shirk. Just that. Just you want to impress somebody, it's shirk. Why? Because if you, and especially in ibadah, for example, you make dua, you make a long, long dua so that people will be impressed by your dua. And 99% of the people in Cape Town don't know what you're saying. And many times you yourself have learned it pat off by heart, parrot fashion. You also don't know what you're saying. So why are you doing it? Oh, it's a janazah to know I must make a long dua today. I must impress the people. Saying that poor man gets no dua. I've told my children if I pass away, people who come to my janazah, after the salah, everybody I instruct now already, for those of you who are listening, that the imam must announce that every person must make dua silent. If he wants to make dua for me, must raise his hands, silent. So now you can make it, inshallah, for me, in your own language. Oh Allah, forgive Faik. Oh Allah, forgive this. Oh Allah, give him Jannah, Allah. So there's no riya. We remove the element of riya, of showing off. And Imam Ghazali goes on and he says, wa in wajib, that which is compulsory, that which is a necessity. Al-alim, al-Muslim, for the Muslim scholar, for the Muslim sheikh or imam or maulana or mufti. When I was saying there were no muftis in Cape Town, we had greater scholars, but there was not a single mufti in Cape Town. And this of an organization having an official mufti, there's no such thing in Islam. Why not? Because a mufti must give his fatwa not in accordance with an organization. He must be a neutral person in the community. So for example, the mufti of the MJC disagrees with me on Maulud. Say for example. Even if he agrees with me, he will give his fatwa in accordance with the outlook of the MJC. That's why that's batil. He must sit outside. People must go to him. The MJ must go to him outside. He must give his verdict without any pressure. But all these laws, you know. These all man-made things that will bring us to ruin. It's going to ruin this community. So, Sheikh Al-Ghazali says that the ulama must treat these innovations with contempt. These acts of shirk must be treated with absolute contempt by the scholars. And every alim must make it his duty to teach people tariqul haqq, the way of the truth. What is the way of the truth? The way of the truth is the Quran and Sunnah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we don't find an answer there for anything else except ibadah, we will go to the Sahaba. Alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And we should not make excuses for people, he says. Why do ulama make excuses for people? Oh, you know, we have been doing this for 300 years. Oh, you know, it's all right. You know, latlama dun, latlama khad khut khruti kramats, latlama di bidatun. It's all right. Like one sheikh said on the radio, los us afat osu asus bidah will dun, los dead for us afbut osu bidah. That's a kufr statement. He doesn't even know that to make a kufr statement. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, كل بدعة ضلالة كل ضلالة في النار. Every deviation is going astray, away from the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And every deviation from the Sirat al-Mustaqim, from the Quran and the Sunnah, is في النار, is in Jahannam. There are ulama in Cape Town who will never quote this. Even though it is a sahih hadith from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will never quote this hadith. You know that? Never. Subhanallah. We've even reached that stage. Hadith is against us. No, I don't. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And Sheikh Ghazali says, وَلَسْتُ مِمَّنْ يُحِبُّ التَّكْفِيرَ النَّاسِ بِأَوْهَا الْأَسْبَابِ. He says, you know, I'm not a person who wants to declare people kafir for any reason. He says, and I'm the same. I've never declared anybody kafir, despite all the difference. I've never declared people kafir. And I've never condemned anything. I put the Quran and Sunnah view on the table, and I expect people to respond. And wallahi, I want people to say I'm wrong and prove to me that I'm wallahi. Why? Because if I die tomorrow and nobody pointed out my mistakes, I'll be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at least if I know I made a mistake, I can make tawbah. I can come to you here and I'll say, please forgive me, but I made a mistake. This is the right view. This is the correct way to go. This one of my colleagues brought me a hadith or ayah of the Quran. I accept it. Ala ayni wa ra'as. And please forgive me. And this is the way to do it. He says, I can't use on trivialities just declare people kafir. Walakin, he says, walakin haram an nada al jahl yaftiku bil aqaid wa nahnu shuhud. He says, it is haram for the ulama to leave the ignorant people for them to destroy their belief, the aqaid, while we are looking on. We are shuhud. We are witnesses. In other words, we see the people doing wrong. The ulama, he's talking about the ulama. You see people going wrong. You see people going against the sunnah, against the Quran. What do? Make excuses for them. You allow them to destroy them. La ilaha illallah. And then he says, أي جريمة. He says, what a crime. What a crime does a doctor commit? What a big crime does a doctor commit? When he's happy, he's happy. To tell his patient that there's nothing wrong with him. He knows his patient is very sick, very ill. Probably going to die of the illness. Like a person who delves into, commits acts which is bid'ah or haram. That person's soul will eventually die. Your soul eventually dies. Though you make salah, you fast, but you do so many things against the instructions of Allah and His Messenger. Your soul will die. He says, what is a greater crime than a doctor who knows his patient is dying or is critically ill, and he doesn't even want to give him medicine? And he tells his patient, there's nothing wrong with you, brother. Go home. Isn't that the biggest crime a doctor can commit? And it's not permissible. If you're a doctor, you can't do that. You sign documents to say that you're not going to do that. But what is a bigger crime than that? Bigger crime is an alim, man of deen, who misleads his people. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. Because guidance doesn't come from me. I can speak here until I'm blue in the face and say all these things from the Quran and the Sunnah. When will you accept it? You will accept it when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you hidayah. Not me. Nobody. Inna huda Allahi huwa al-huda. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily guidance. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily guidance is the guidance of Allah alone. Nobody can guide. Not the Prophet. Nobody. Guidance. To put you on the straight path, that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did the Prophet say? When the Prophet said to his uncle, Abu Talib, please just say La ilaha illallah. Just say La ilaha illallah. That's all. But he refused. Why did he refuse? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْ. You cannot guide whom you will, O Muhammad. I guide. You can't guide. SubhanAllah. So we ask all this for guidance. When you go on your musalla, say, Ya Allah, I've listened to Faiq, and my sheikh says so, and I belong to this sect. But that's it. Guide me. Ask Allah for sincere guidance. Don't ask your sheikh. He himself needs guidance. We all need guidance. I need guidance. All of us need guidance. People say, oh no, whatever the sheikh says, la ilaha illallah. Inna hudallahi huwa al-huda. Simple, just ask Allah for guidance. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us on the principles of Quran and Sunnah, based on the character of the Nabi alayhi salam, and based on the allegiance of the Sahaba to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the Quran. Based not on blind love of something that you can't explain. Oh, I love Allah. Really? You love Allah? What does Allah say about loving Him in the Quran? You must answer it by quoting that ayah. Because Allah speaks about love of Him in the Quran. Allah says, In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah. If you say that you love me, Allah says, In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you say you love Allah. The Quran. People come to me, mothers and fathers bring their children to me and say, Sheikh, my son belongs to this group and that group and that group. And you know, we're not happy with it. And then I speak to the son and he smiles at me and he says, I love Allah. So if a person comes to you like that, you say, well, what can I do? The man says he loves Allah. What does Allah say about that love? In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni. Allah says to the Nabi alayhi salam, if they say they love Allah, then follow me. Who's me? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, you say you love me? Follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These people who belong to all these deviant sects, S-E-X-N-S-E-C-T-S. They belong to these sects. They say, no, our Sheikh tells us. Allah says, you love me? What must you do? You must follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't come to me with your peer. No, no, no. Don't come to me. I love Allah because he taught me how to love Allah. No. I love Allah because I love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And why do I love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands me to love him and to follow him. Follow his sunnah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. It's very simple, brothers and sisters, to be a good Muslim. 5 things you have to do. Just 5 things. 5 pillars of Islam. If you do that, I guarantee you again that you will go to Jannah. But because the Prophet guarantees you Jannah. He guaranteed the Bedouin Jannah when the Bedouin said to him, I will only do these 5 things. What is my status by Allah? Prophet said, if you do as you say you're going to do, you're into paradise. Wallahu ta'ala alam, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.